Hello and welcome to the Bird Camp Wonderland Radio Show. As I can see, we've got masses of viewers in the chat box this morning or this afternoon. Oh, honestly, guys, and I got the Ginger Boys with me. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? Okay, so it's the Brighton Radio Show, and with me today I have Shredder. Hello, Shreds.
Hello, I'm evidently we needed more than one Jason and more than one Ginger, and I fit that demographic. So I'm joining here as a representative of both the Jason demographic and the Ginger demographic. So happy to be here at 9:07 a.m. and just for everybody, nice dunkel from Dark Clouds Brewing here in North Carolina.
Lovely.
If you're playing Jason's drinking bingo at home, if you had a dunkel, check it off.
You just tick boxes, don't you, bro?
I do. Absolutely. Nice. All day.
You tick the colonial box, you tick the ginger box, you tick the Jason box. Talking of ticking boxes, here he is. It's Josh. How the devil are you, Josh?
I'm great, thank you, Jason. I'm so hungover. I've been enjoying Brighton's nightlife a little too much the last couple of days. But, yeah, great to be back. And we can talk about two teams that I quite like.
Nice. Yeah. You live in Brighton, don't you?
I do, for my sins.
That's a nice place.
Yeah.
Nice place.
It is very nice. Yeah.
It's down south. Okay, let's get on with this then. Hello, MJL and Nicky Wilson's in the house. Hello, Nick. It's good to have you on board, son. Let's go straight to lineups. I suppose the two talking points, no Ozil, no Koscielny. Jace, they're peddling out the Ozil is injured line again. Do you think he's injured, or do you think there may be issues there?
I genuinely think he's injured. It may be one of those sort of little nagging injuries that just wouldn't, we don't maybe want to risk him in a match like this for. Maybe want to save him until after the international break. And we've got some tough away fixtures there coming in, especially looking at that Everton one. But even if he's injured or not, I do think it may be just a little niggle that they're just not gonna risk him for, since they know that we could probably, you know, the last couple of matches get a win without him. So why risk him and save him for the bigger occasions when supposedly he doesn't show up anyway?
Yeah. Well, I got to be honest, boys. You know, when we're talking about Ozil, there's so many games he hasn't turned up in, and I think that's fair criticism. You know, as wonderful a footballer as he is, you know, he likes to play hide and seek in the big occasions. You know, his stats are fantastic, but it's very difficult to quantify how he has influenced big games. Josh, no Koscielny as well. The Achilles has flared up. Could this be an issue with us going forward?
I think, well, with Brighton's forward line, we were certainly, it was a lot easier for the players to really defend against them because they had no real fit striker. So we saw Izzy Brown up front. So it was a case of just a lot of wingers there. And I think Rob Holding can cope with players at that kind of level. So I thought he came in and played admirably well in the case that Koscielny wasn't there. I think we'll have bigger tests. Hopefully he's okay on the other side of the window. No, it's not window. So international break. But from there, I'm not too worried about it. We knew it was going to happen. We knew Koscielny was going to break down occasionally this season because of the Achilles. And it's just a case of we've got the squad to deal with it. I think they played well, that back three today against what Brighton tried to throw at us.
Yeah. In the chat box, you got Mike from Gooners in the USA. Hola, Mike. Yeah, I can't get the lighting right, and I just don't care. I'm too hungover to be bothered about it today.
He's actually just on witness protection program and can't show his face without the cops coming to his house. That's the problem. We don't have a voice modulator for him. So
you don't want to see my face this morning. Oh, we've got with Walrus and the Hedgehog, and we've got Jove82. Hola, peeps. Right, okay, let's get straight into the game then. After 5 minutes, we get the Lacazette shot that hits the post. Wow. Wow. What a shot. Jace, talk me through it.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful piece of skill for the ball to just sort of sit up just like that. It was such a quick sort of reaction for him. And I think that goes to show just how instinctual he is and how great his reaction time is to be able to sort of – it fell to him quickly on sort of the half volley there. And it didn't go in. I probably freaking broke part of the post there. It wouldn't surprise me if it cracked or something because he hit it with just a Podolski amount of pace on it. But it's really nice to finally see a player come into our side and have a pot shot like that and really go after it and come so close. I think we're sort of used to seeing those sort of pot shots go over the bar, but just the ability was that he showed and the technique and precision was just so impressive. You just wished it would have been just a couple more inches inside so that it would have flown into the back of the net instead of hitting that post. But I think that sort of set the tone, especially for the first 20 minutes for us.
Yeah, agreed. It would have been an absolute screamer to score. You know, it would have been a thing of beauty. Oh, look who's in the box. Knee 987 and 73295. All the old favourites are today. Really enjoying this now. I like a good chat box. Okay, so we went on then, Josh, and let's go straight to the goal. A bit of ping pong in the box. It comes out to Monreal, and an accomplished finish. Talk me through it.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think who had the initial shot that was smothered away, but Bellerin came in. He had a go, but that deflected shot then just comes into the path of Monreal, who manages just to absolutely bury it. He's a player that's been an absolute great servant for us. I think ever since he's come in, he's just been so consistent, and he did get a goal against Chelsea in the FA Cup. So we know he's got that kind of finish on him where I think personally he's probably one of the most technical players we've actually got with the ball at his foot compared to even the likes of Santi Cazorla. You know, he's of a similar level, not necessarily at that peak, but he's an absolutely fantastic footballer. And that goal was just everything deserved because we'd been knocking on the door and we were getting very unlucky. And I think it was just what was deserved at that time was to get the goal, and Monreal was that man to do it for us.
Yeah, Jace, do you want to come in on that as well?
No, I think it. I mean, it was nice to sort of score off of a set piece, which we don't always do. And I know Brighton were having shouts that the ball was out of play. I don't think it was. I think it was the right decision. So I do think there may have been some controversy on that. But really good to see Nacho get a goal. Whenever he scores, just you can see the exhilaration on his face and sort of how it's. Yeah, he wants to, but he doesn't always expect to score. And so seeing sort of just a very candid sort of childlike celebration is super sort of refreshing and lovely for a player like Nacho, who everybody, you know, continues to say he's so underrated, but does such a really great job for the team sort of week in and week out, especially sort of over the last sort of calendar year for us. I can't think of a player who's sort of been in more consistent form for us. At the back, and even when he's had to attack, so really happy for him, and a really good way to sort of show some resilience in there, because I've seen a lot of players, like, you know, when we get a ball in the box like that, we all just sort of give up and or put in half-hearted attempts. But glad to see somebody take it with some fervor and some effort and have it pay off.
Yeah, with regard to the ball going to play, the touch judge was on the line.
Yeah, he was.
You could clearly see that the whole of the ball hadn't crossed the line. It was some really good officiating at that point.
Yeah.
In the chat box, Norma Ott, Daniel Cronin, Pat Brady, who else is there? There's somebody else. Oh, look, if I haven't mentioned you, I do apologise. But it's good. It's great to have you all in there. Yeah, so you know, it's a really nice start for us, the game. You know, we... Brighton were defending really, really deep, Josh. You know, were they actually going to come out to play? That was the thing in the first half, because I haven't seen, you know, they were kind of Stoke-esque in the way they in the depth with which they defended. Do you think they could have come out to play more in that first half?
I don't think we really had an option, really, because Arsenal just, you know, so aggressive in that that there wasn't really a chance for any kind of counter in the first half, controlling the tempo of the game. It was kind of expected that this was how Brighton would set up. They did it against Man City, who only managed to put two past them on the opening day as well. So saying only getting a 2-0 win against Brighton, you know, was a chance to improve our goal difference, bearing in mind how good that Manchester City attack is, the fact they only put two past them as well, is just a case that, you know, the fact we got the win was just what we needed, really. Goal difference or not, you know, it probably won't come down to that. And especially, I don't think we've got the same kind of attacking power as some of the other teams in this division. But overall, I think, yeah, we could have seen a bit more counter-attacking from Brighton because they are very pacey. And the wing, there was a couple of decisions that I thought were interesting selections, but their choice of wing-backs, I didn't think. It was interesting to see Gaetan Bong play over Marcus Suttner, who's been really good for them this season. But overall, I think it was just, yeah, really hard to break them down, to be honest. And until, you know, it took us 36 minutes or so to actually score our first goal. So I think if they would have gone in at half-time at 0-0, they'd have been very happy with that.
Okay, right. So let's talk about a bit of skill we saw in the first half, Jit. Bellerin, first time volley cross across the face of the box. Fair play. He really caught that, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he absolutely did. And I think he was one of our better players today, especially going forward. He really was causing some trouble down that right-hand side. And I think this is the Bellerin that we've all sort of been waiting to come out ever since before he had that injury. And he's, you know, been recovering now, and I think we're finally seeing him come into form and really starting to flourish in this right wing back role. But his pace was good. That the technique on that ball was absolutely brilliant. I think, you know, a lot of the jokes today about it, where his hair is finally to the optimal length for him to play well. It's not. Although he did go with a sort of a crappy half man bun tied back behind there to keep it out of his face. I'd rather see you go with, you know, a headband or something. But I absolutely chuffed with it. The guy continues to seem like he keeps pushing his ceiling even higher and higher, and showing a lot of really good potential. Let's hope he can keep it up for us and hang on to us, because I know a lot, obviously, in the summer and transfer was him possibly wanting to go back to Barca and all the Barca DNA, you know, BS that we always hear every summer. But hopefully we can continue to tie him up, and he can keep putting in performances like he did today, because I think he was one of our better players on the day.
Yeah. Right, the scoring's actually opened in the 17th minute, Josh. Okay, you know, I think somebody's mentioned the chat box. Man City were away when they played them. I do think we were wasteful in front of goal first half. Mm-hmm. You know, we were a bit greedy at times, passes not going. It wasn't a fluid performance from us, was it? It was a little bit disjointed. And from some of the attacking prowess we did show against in previous games, where, you know, we've been really sort of at it. We weren't quite there today, were we?
No, I think the midfield passing just seemed a little bit hungover. I think it's already in the chat box that Ramsey was a little bit loose with his passing. There were another couple of players that I thought were very loose with their build-up play in general. But, yeah, that's what happens when you've got a couple of banks of four. You can't play a ball in behind because it just was no space at all. So we had to be crisp with our passing, and I think that was the main issue of why we couldn't get more goals, was just down to that, the fact of how defensive, how structured Brighton were in their play. But yeah, I think overall there are a couple of players that didn't play that well today.
I got to be honest, I thought the passing at times for everyone was poor. on occasion. You know, we weren't. You know, there's the great Johan Cruyff comment when he's managing Barcelona, where you always play the ball in front of the man so he can run onto it, and we kind of didn't do that. We didn't attack fluidly down the flanks, Jace. It was disjointed, but let me come to you. They had a really good effort, the Solly March shot, which hit the post, free kick. Now, Kolasinac, he didn't really need to give away that free kick, did he? It was a poor bit of play by him.
Yeah, it was. I think I forgot who it was who won the free kick, but it was. I think they sold it well. I don't think it was that much of a push in the back, but anytime you got two hands on the back and a player goes down like that, you know, you're The ref's going to give the benefit of the doubt to the offensive player there. So, it was sort of foolish. He was sort of starting to turn away from goal. He had some help to the inside as well. So, a bit foolish and rash on his part. But what a tidy little set piece it was. Absolutely sort of worried me there. And you'd like to see us sort of maybe take a little risk like that every once in a while with the free kick and see what we can't do, especially with Lacazette there now. And obviously, we've seen Sanchez hit some from deep like that as well. But they I think it was around the 25th sort of minute they started to go, okay, like it's still 1-0, like we can still play with these guys, like we can still do this. And I think you started to see their confidence to grow, and they continue to get more physical with us, which everybody knows we don't really do well against overly physical teams. Even though we've brought in some physical players, it seems to sort of maybe be coached out of them whenever they get here. I don't quite know what goes on there, obviously behind the scenes. But it's one of those cases where they started to get confidence the more the longer it stayed at 1-0. So getting a second goal was crucial. But fair play to them, because they had some really bright moments. And I think, you know, positionally, Xhaka and Ramsey, while I do like that pairing, you know, especially going forward, it offers us a lot, you know, especially when they're both on their game. They just had a couple of times, especially off of goal kicks and stuff, where they just seemed to be about 5 yards too far up the pitch. And the ball kept sort of just sailing right over their head or sort of through them. And then they were having to play catch up and sort of leaving our back three exposed. And luckily, I think our back three did a good job today. But at the same time, that was a little bit worrying going out, because it seemed like our sort of with the long ball that our midfield was able to be bypassed pretty quickly there, and they were able to get on our defense. And like I said, luckily Holding and Mustafi and Monreal had solid games today.
Yeah,
but solid.
I think around the 25-minute period, Brighton really came back into the game, but they didn't really pose a massive threat outside of the Solly March effort. It wasn't. It was a little bit bitty, wasn't it? It was a little bit bitty. Okay, Josh, I know before the podcast that you wanted to talk about Iwobi and how well he played, but in the first half, he made a great run. He's got two runners coming off him, and he fires a really weak shot. Not his finest moment in the game. So talk to me about Iwobi. Josh, are you on mute?
Yes, I am. What an idiot.
You donkey.
Gone and pulled a Gimli. I thought he was really good in this game, personally. He's still a young player, so seeing him have a couple of issues with his passing and some of the decision-making is going to come. He's not like a Mesut Ozil, who's... decision making is generally absolutely superb. So that's still going to come. I think he is a good player that can come in and overall take over from Ozil if he leaves at the end of the season. But I think with his goal, it's really smartly taken. Iwobi's finishing is a bit erratic, a bit like him as a player, I suppose. Generally, his play is quite erratic. But I think just to take that shot and just smash it across the goal. The assist from Alexis was absolutely superb with the back heel. Just completely takes the Brighton team out of contention. And I thought it was just, really well-worked move overall. And personally, I thought, it was between him and Nacho for man of the match for me.
Oh, whoa! Really? Seriously, are you seriously telling me you think Alex Iwobi was in it for man of the match?
Yeah, because we had some players that were absolutely awful in that game, and it was more of a best of a bad bunch, to be honest. Monreal was absolutely superb in the game. I think Iwobi was one of the brighter attacking players that we had in the game, and getting a goal as well, which fully deserves that.
Oh, poof, I couldn't disagree more. I that no way is he in line for that. No way, you know. Poof. Never mind. Let's go on. I might have a heart attack here. Jeepers creepers. Right, a couple of comments in the chat box I liked. 73295 as per usual. Jack is passing as poor as Oliver Reed's trying to pass a bar. That was quite nice. I think, to be fair, you got to credit Brighton as well. You know, they were physical. They did defend quite well in that respect. Jove82. We're going to come on to Wilshere later on in the show. He's asking whether we'd have liked to see him come on as a substitute. Jace, is Guido, whatever his name is, he makes a shot for Brighton, which goes for a throw-in. Oh my God.
I might as well have taken that shot. about the same result. I think that shot almost summed up most of their scoring opportunities. To be honest, they had a couple of decent chances, but I think, you know, we can talk about ourselves there, but I think they were also wasteful in front of goal, because I do think there were a couple of times when we did give them some opportunities, but they weren't. Luckily, they esquedoed it, as the new verb goes. that's taken the place of Gervinho'd it. But no, yeah, it was just one of those days where it seemed like they sort of couldn't really put anything on target. And to be fair to us, we scored two goals. But like you said, in the first half, I thought, oh, it's same old Arsenal. We can't put it in the back of the net, no matter how many chances we have. But they were compact at the back, and I think we did the same and sort of closed down some space. And so we had to take that shot from distance. And I've definitely done that a few times myself, so I can't really say too much about it, other than fair play to the linesman. Fair play to the linesman who has to make the biggest call on that, if it's going to go out or for a corner or a throw.
It was touch and go, wasn't it? Josh, we had a free kick. Xhaka just pulled the ball away from the spray. And then ensued a discussion between him and Kevin Friend as to the positioning of the ball, which was a matter of centimetres. Just how pathetic was that?
I'm not sure from whose side it's pathetic, but it's, you know, even that slightly putting the ball a foot back or so, you're going to get a slightly better angle. I think ultimately he'll probably blame the fact that that's why he hit the wall, is because he needed that extra couple of inches that he wasn't given by the ref, but... Yeah, really, really odd scenario. I don't know why, you know, Xhaka just doesn't, in the end, just go, okay, fine, whatever, just get on with it.
I think part of it had to do with, I think some of the vanishing cream got onto the ball. And if you hit the ball with that vanishing cream, it's not probably going to do what you want it to do. I think that was part of it, because you saw him twice wipe the ball off from where it had been on the ground. And that's why he moved it. And then, obviously, he came over, put more vanishing cream on the ground, spray on the ground, and sort of did the same thing. I think that was the issue. I think it was just Kevin Friend trying to interject himself and say, no, I'm the captain now. You put the ball where I want you to, very Captain Phillips style. But yeah, I honestly think that's what it was about, more so than it was centimeters or direct placement of the ball. It was just the fact that he kept putting it inside the vanishing spray. And that, you know, if you hit the ball wrong, you hit that vanishing spray on any part of it, it could definitely...
Yeah,
caused the ball probably to do some weird things.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Josh, I'm going to come back to you on... There ensued a period of play where it really summed up our finishing. There was the Rambo volley fiasco, where he just totally got it wrong. Lacazette, a poor shot from turnover ball just outside the box. We were not efficient in front of goal today, were we?
No, I think that last kind of period just turned into a bit of a training session for us. not really being as aggressive as potentially we should be. And yeah, the shooting was not great from us at all. I think that Ramsey shot just kind of summed up Arsenal's performance at that point. It was just very, very odd. But yeah, overall, I just think it was just a really weird point of that game. I think everybody was just starting to drift off at that time.
It seemed that way. Jace, you had a wonderful bit of skill from Alexis Sanchez, where he turned Duffy and Duffy just went right to the back of him, picking up a yellow card. Brighton were by no means a dirty team. I don't think you can accuse them of that. But yeah, there were some quite cynical professional fouls by them during the game. Do you admire that about Brighton, or do you think, come on, let's try to, you should be trying to play football?
For a lower sort of league team like that, like Brighton coming up from the Premier League, they're going to have to be physical with teams. That's how they're going to have to try to impose their will, is being physical. So with a team like that, if it comes off, I think people admire it. When it doesn't come off, you go, oh, it sucks. How cynical. That tackle in itself, I was like, it was the definition of cynical. It was nowhere near the ball, kept sort of sweeping through. There was, I think, another time when Sanchez was running through with the ball, and one of the players literally just, you could tell, he went to pull his leg back in, saying, like, oh, foul him. And then, but he was like, no, I'll just leave it out. And then literally sticks his leg sort of back out behind him. And Sanchez catches it, goes over, gets a free kick. And then he has the gall to sort of argue with Sanchez. If you're going to make a professional foul like that and just stop the play, own it. Don't argue with the player and say, dove. Don't be that twat. Sorry. But own the fact that you're being physical and be like, get yourself up and take your free kick. You know, that's what you wanted, so go ahead and do that. Like, I think it's more the attitude in which the physicality is played that I would probably judge more than just physical play. Tony Pulis teams are going to be physical just because they're bullies and they have no footballing skill, and Tony Pulis doesn't know how to coach.
Oh, whoa.
What's happening?
West Brom played really well against this last game.
From mostly players that he inherited.
I'm sorry. He's still coaching. I don't think you can, since he moved to Palace.
I would say Tony Pulis coaches offense the way that Arsene Wenger coaches defense. I'll put it that way. I think with the attitude of play, I just don't like the attitude which Pulis goes about it. Because he tries to act like he plays better football than he does. If you're going to be physical, own the fact that you're physical, and don't be a.
We're going slightly off topic here, but I will say one thing. Tony Pulis is the only manager I know of who's fined one of his players for diving.
He has. So, yeah. You can't take that away from him.
Yeah, and he does utilise the wings very well when he's got good wingers. In the chat box, we have Rudy Rastlos, we have New Wave Girl, we have Beastie LZ, we have Oscar Lucia... Oscar Lucia, Oliver, Austin Barrett from Perth, hello. We've got Chill Doctor, Marble Halls TV, and 235100. There was somebody else I've forgotten to mention. I do apologise. Right. I'm going to come to you both on this. Josh first. Brighton corner, check comes, misses, we break. It was a bit like the old Arsenal relay team where we charge up on the break. We've got four runners. It ends up in a Rambo shot and a good save from Matt Ryan, to be fair. Talk me through it, Josh. Talk me through it.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a bit like the red arrows going off in formation, just seeing Arsenal break so quickly. We've generally been on the receiving ends of attacks like that, to be fair, in recent times. But I'm still shocked how we didn't score that. I know Matt Ryan is a really, really good guy.
Josh, we can't hear you. What have you done?
No, looks like we've lost Josh. Looks like we've lost him completely.
Right, okay. Jace, talk me through what we're trying to get back, Josh.
Yeah, no, I it was one of those breaks that as an Arsenal fan, you're like, finally, especially when you have the pace of Iwobi out there. You've got Bellerin, you've got Lacazette who's got pace. You obviously have Sanchez who has pace. So it was, I think it was what we all wanted to see was the horses off to the races there. It was, and I think, you know, they in the match commentary, they also spoke about it, how we did end up picking our sort of the best passes there to put us in the right position. And unfortunately, it was just the final ball itself that I think it was sort of saved away. But it was the break we were all hoping for. And the problem is against better teams, that may be the only opportunity we get in the game. We have to put that away. I think that's the one opportunity we were, you know, against a team like Brighton, you may get a couple other opportunities by breaking some play down when they're compact like we did, you know, for our first goal off a set piece or off of our second goal. But these are the opportunities that we need to really start to capitalize on to continue to make sure that we don't finish outside the top four this season and can continue to make a push and sort of get back into Champions League. Those types of plays against better competition, the cities, the Uniteds, the Chavs, those we have to start to finish. We've got to make sure that we put those away and be more clinical.
Yeah, it was disappointing we didn't finish it off, but I do think you've got to credit the keeper on that one. He did well. Is Josh back yet?
Yeah, apparently. I don't know what's going on with Hangouts. I'm going to blame that as opposed to anything like my internet connection.
Well, okay, fair enough, mate. Fair enough. We won't believe you, but there you go. Right. Okay. So let's look at the first half in general. We didn't show much intensity. Brighton defended very deep. It was a professional enough performance, Josh, but no great shakes.
No, I don't think so. I don't think we're going to look back on this game and go, oh, that was a great performance. Certainly better than the last one that we went into an international break on. But overall, I'm not really going to remember the game for much, to be honest.
No, it wasn't one of those. Second half, Jace, we started off, there was a Sanchez run, a Lacazette shot. We another Sanchez cross, which Duffy defended really well. We seemed to show more intent second half, and Sanchez really came into the game where I felt that he was fairly anonymous first half. How did you what did you think about that?
No, I sort of completely agree with you. It seemed like we knew we needed to get sort of another goal there coming out of the break and make sure that we sort of start to put this game away. And Josh said it was just, and you said it, just an extremely sort of professional pedestrian experience or game that when you look back, there's not going to be anything to remember. But there were some times when I think we really actually did play pretty well. And Sanchez coming in, there were obviously some frustrating times. There was one time when he pulled play back when I think he should have continued to push it forward because we had advantage. He obviously still likes to pick out the shin of a defender every now and then. But then he comes in and he has moments like the back heel that get us your second goal. And that's why he continues to play. I think it was only, his fourth start of the Premier League this year. So probably a little slower start than he would like. Obviously, we know how much he wants to play. Even if he's, I don't think, happy, he's going to want to play all the time because he understands that's how he's going to put himself back on the market if he does want to leave. But it's one of those things where he when he wants to, he can really influence a game. And we saw definitely moments of that today. Again, I think there were a couple of times when people were like, oh, there's, Sanchez complaining to his teammates again that he didn't get past the ball. And, it's just funny how sort of the narrative can go sometimes once you have that reputation that anytime now it's going to be just highlighted anytime you do it. There was one time where I think he should have actually gotten the ball, and I would have done the exact same thing he did. It's one of those things where he wants the ball on his feet. I do think there were times that he was a little selfish, especially later in the match when we were up 2-0. When you could tell he wanted the goal himself and could have laid the ball off, and he didn't. I don't necessarily blame him in that situation. We're up 2-0. We're sort of on cruise control. Go ahead and see if you can't make a little something magic and grab a goal. Why not?
I think that's a fair comment. He is annoyingly selfish at times, but when he has moments of brilliance, he's a joy to watch.
And I would even say that his selfishness created the opportunity for the back heel. You look at the way everybody was sort of moving towards him, thinking he was going to try and probably turn and fire. I think he had four players moving towards him that actually helped create that space for Iwobi to run into. So sometimes when you are selfish like that, and it can actually benefit the team in certain instances, like it did this time with all the defenders sort of starting to follow him.
Yeah, no. I think that's fair. Yeah. Josh, coming on from that, we had the interplay leading up to Iwobi's goal where I think it was Lacazette to Rambo to Sanchez, the back heel to Iwobi. Fantastic finish from Iwobi. Really took it well. But what a piece of play. It was a thing of beauty to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, the interplay was absolutely superb. We'd seen Iwobi kind of not have some great shots in the game, but this one I thought he took really well. He did look a little bit surprised that the ball was actually passed to him, but I think that was the kind of creativity that you get from Alexis, that, you know, surprised when he passes it, and when he was selfless, to be honest, which was nice to see. But yeah, credit to him, just absolutely rifled it into the far corner past the goalkeeper, who did have a good game. It was nice to see that, a goalkeeper from a promoted side didn't have the best game they'll ever play for us, just to keep out, to keep it 0-0. But yeah, I think it was just a really, really good move. I'd say almost reminiscent to like the Norwich kind of goal, but not on that level yet. But it showed that it was there, that we have that still in the locker.
Yeah, no, I agree. Jace, what did you make of the goal? What do you think of it all?
Oh, no, it was a lot of people are talking about how brilliant the pass was, and that's really, it was a super pass. But we've seen that shot fall to Iwobi so many times, and him scuff it or hit it straight at the keeper, or it go out for a throw, Izquierdo style. But he just put his laces through it and just blasted. There was nothing the keeper could have done. And hopefully that's a sign of him starting to gain some more confidence in front of goal. And the fact that maybe we won't see those same missed shots from him, that now when the ball falls to him, he's got that confidence to take it and put it on target and put it past the keeper. So it was absolutely brilliant to see. As our good friend Lord Hill Wood put, maybe not the best celebration in the world. As long as he's, he can do that celebration, as long as he keeps scoring goals, I don't care. It was really good to see him sort of get the start today and be able to. I do think he had, I don't think he was man of the match. Sorry, Josh. But I do think he had some bright moments today, and I definitely can see why Wenger's starting to maybe pick him a little bit more in Ozil's absence, instead of playing Ramsey up there and bringing Elneny in beside Xhaka. So, happy for the kid, and hopefully, like I said, it's a sign of his confidence just continuing to grow, and hopefully a sign of more goals and sort of more productivity to come from him in the next season.
Yeah, he's I'd really like to see Iwobi do well. You know, he's got fantastic feet, fantastic, but his fitness is a massive issue. He was really blowing when he came to substitution, and he falls out of the game at that point. And, you know, I know he's a big guy, but, you know, it is something he's going to have to work on. At that point in the game, Josh, you had Alexis running the show. Lacazette's work rate, I think, is fantastic. He's always pressuring defenders. You know, he doesn't stop, working hard to try to win himself opportunities. We saw some decent defending from Dunk. He blocked a shot from Lacazette. There was the shot from Sanchez where I think the keeper got a touch and Dunk cleared it. We were really on top at that point, weren't we? You know, how did you feel the game was going at that point?
Yeah, I was waiting for another goal to go in, to be honest. It was one of those where we were just rifling the goal. But yeah, as you say, the defence for Brighton was absolutely superb. Dunk and Duffy are a great centre-back pairing. I thought it was a bit weird that we actually brought Giroud on, because that's the kind of forward that those two love to play against. I would have kept probably Lacazette on for a little bit longer and made a slightly different change in the midfield. But, you know, Giroud did get the goal midweek, so it was nice to get him on for a bit. But overall, I thought, yeah, I was expecting more goals. We just weren't clinical enough.
No, we weren't, were we? Right, it's the chat box. Chill Doctor's in there. Lawrence Hiskey's in there. Norma, we've mentioned Norma already. Guys, as I say every time I do this, Shredder, Josh, John Welsh, Ellis, yeah, everybody gives up their time to do this. We don't take anything out of it. If you could give us a thumbs up, we really would appreciate it. If you don't like us, give us a thumbs down. It's fine. Gaming for Life's in there. You know, Chris is missing in action again. What a bum. What a bum. You know, I mean, is he rampaging on across the seven seas again? What's he doing?
Supposedly it takes half a season of Arsenal to get your hair cut. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just go check out Chris's Instagram and go check out Daily Chris Picks, and you'll see what we're all talking about. He's got a fantastic bob now.
Yeah, I was about to say he's gone full bob, isn't he? I mean, Chris has gone all metrosexual, and if I had the dubious pleasure of sharing a room with him and Dom, and he takes a lot of time over his hair. When you walk into the room and he says, "Oh, I hope they've got a hair dryer here. I've only brought my straighteners."
I didn't know the pirate ships had electricity for all those hair accoutrements.
He does look like he's starting up a new Romantics band as well with that hair.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
He's bringing it back.
Yeah, no more Slayer. He's back to Duran Duran. What's going on?
He's the emo. He's the emo pirate.
What can I say? Yeah, but we do miss Chris. We hope he's back soon. Right, we've talked about Lacazette's work, Chris. Then came the substitutions around the 70th minute. It will be in Lacazette off. As you said, Josh, I thought Lacazette was a little bit unlucky. Theo and Ollie came on. They made their changes. When they brought Glenn Murray on, Jace, the game changed a bit, didn't it? All of a sudden, they came into it a bit more in the sort of last 10, 15 minutes. They really started to pressurize us with some decent effort.
The way that you just described that to me sounds like former third division U.S. soccer player Glenn Murray, formerly of the Wilmington Hammerheads, comes in and almost saves the day for Brighton at the Emirates against Arsenal. Because that's where Glenn Murray was before he went to Brighton, was in the third division of U.S. soccer here in my own home state with the Wilmington Hammerheads. So no, he's a decent player, and he's got some decent skill for him. And came on, yeah, he did. I think there's a couple of shots they had. Him and March were definitely a handful, and sort of all throughout the game. And just I think our commentators over here sort of mentioned it. I don't know if you guys had the same ones, but sort of Chris Hughton was in a no-win situation. Like, at what time do you really start to attack without, you know, creating more damage than you can really come back from? I think they did start a little bit late, but he's definitely a little worried, especially by probably the speed that we had up front and Iwobi, Lacazette, Sanchez. So whenever we brought Theo and Giroud on, you take some of that pace off with Giroud up top, and I think he felt he could probably open up the game a little bit more and start attacking. But at that point, I think it was just a little too late. Interesting to see, you know, continue to see Walcott come on. I'm not a huge fan of him. I know that's really weird to say, and I'm one of the people who, honestly, myself, I'm sort of self-loathing in this criticism of Theo. He scored 19 goals for us last year, and if anybody else with a name other than Theo Walcott would have done that, you'd say he why isn't he starting? But there's, you know, it seems to be all he does in a game is grab a goal or two, but then there's not really any a whole lot of effort in other areas of the pitch, and I think that's where our frustration comes from. Everybody knows that I love Giroud, so I, you know, Theo can get some game time. I'm fine with that. Like I said, he can grab a goal and he can still cause some teams trouble. But it's interesting to see, and I see a lot of talk in the chat box and on Twitter this morning about Lacazette's only played 90 minutes for us one time this season, and that was Leicester. And if that's, you know, I don't know if that's down to Wenger still thinking he needs to bed in a little bit, if it's down to maybe some fitness issues or what, but I would actually be interested to see him play beside Sanchez with Giroud in front of them a little bit more and just see what they can do with running off that ball into Giroud with Giroud's back to goal and having Sanchez and Lacazette sort of be able to run by to pick up those little layoffs. I think that would be something I would like to see, but obviously not in the cards today.
Yeah, I think that option of maybe dropping Lacazette into the Iwobi role would have been nice to see, to be fair. As far as Theo's concerned, it's a really difficult one. You know, he's not getting enough game time, I suppose, to really sharpen up. He's in a bit of a no-win situation. I do feel he's becoming a bit of a whipping boy at times, and he's getting some unfair criticism. But having said that, you know, he earns an awful lot of money. He needs to perform.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, when it comes down to Charlie Davis in years, do you buy into the full narrative but Lacazette not completing 90 minutes? BT Sport seemed keen to point it out a lot. I think that's down to more Olivier Giroud, Arsene giving Olivier Giroud chances. Mm-hmm. I think that's the big thing there. I don't think it's anything to do with Lacazette's quality. I think he's trying to, you know, it's a difficult balancing act when you got the top two, you know, you got France as strikers on your books. You need to keep them both happy, and you know, Ollie keeps on, you know, putting in the effort. He's a great player. Lacazette's a great player. I just think it's a difficult scenario for them. Josh, let's wrap up the game. And actually, guys, in the chat box, if you've got any questions, we've got a few already. If you want to put them in now, we'll go more into that. Josh, what did you think of them towards the end of the game? I think they really showed a lot of fight, and they came back into this, and they gave us a couple of scares, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it had come to the point, as Jace was saying, you know, Brighton just realised they've got to do something in this game, and attack turned out to be one of the best form defences for them because they really started to pin us back. You see the Glenn Murray chance as well. They really did give us a scare, to be honest. Was looking at whether or not Glenn Murray would get that goal, but overall I think we were kind of comfortable in that way that Arsenal look completely uncomfortable when they're defending. But
sorry, Josh, I've got to interrupt you there for 1 second. I do apologise. Knee 9A7, I do apologise. I've timed you out by mistake. Oh, I'm ever so sorry. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to do that. I was trying to copy in your question about cats. I'm ever so sorry, Josh.
Oh, Jason.
I know.
Oh, Jason.
What a prat.
Well, if you had a cat, that wouldn't happen. That's all I'm saying. That's what Nina's question was about. But, back to the game. I thought, Brighton did look like they could get a goal, but to be honest, I've been quite disappointed with how Anthony Knockhart has played for them this season. He was Championship Player of the Year last season. I think they've just been... this level looks a bit odd for him. We've seen Solly March, as you said, across the whole game, was superb for them. But I thought that would be the biggest threat, would be Knockhart coming on. But it just didn't seem to be his day either, just getting a little bit... caught out on that right hand side. But interesting to see a lot of that play from them came down their right, our left, where we had Kolasinac and Monreal, which you'd say is probably our most our stronger side defensively.
I think Monreal's link play, as you mentioned earlier on, his technical ability is second to none, you know, as a in that position. It's great to see Monreal coming forward. Also, his defensive ability has been superb recently. So that was the game, guys. 2-0 win. You know, it was comfortable enough. we didn't really have many scares. It was a little bit disappointing, the performance, I suppose, but you know, that's the way it goes. You know, you can't score four every game. So let's talk about, there's been some questions regarding Jack Wilshere and why he didn't come on. Now, I'm going to come to you first, Jace, then I'm going to come back to you on this, Josh. I'm looking at the whole narrative around Jack Wilshere at the moment as a bit delusional. I saw somebody, you know, one of the famous sort of AFTV characters, but on, you know, this club needs a fit Jack Wilshere. Well, you know, a player of his quality, pardon me, we always need, but he's got to earn his right to get back in the team. And performances against Doncaster and Bate Borisov, you know, they're a stepping stone for him, but his fitness needs to improve. You can see the qualities there. Your position back in this team, Jace?
I think he can. I think stepping stones is the correct term to use there. And by the way, the name on the back of this kit is Jack Wilshere. I'm a huge fan of Jack. I love the intensity and the passion that he brings. He's one of our few players who will get up and defend somebody after a tackle. He's got that sort of bite to his game. But just like you said, Jace, like it's a stepping stone. Right now, he was on the injury side of the creek, and he needs to take these small little stepping stones instead of trying to jump across the creek again and get swept down in the current, which could easily happen again. I'm fine with his performances so far against, you know, Bate. And he looked quality in those games. He looked like one of the better players on the pitch in both of those matches. And, of course, it's against lesser opposition. But we've seen some other Arsenal players who we know were better than that opposition. They still don't perform. And he put in some good performances there. And that's, like you said, it's a great stepping stone. It's a great foundation for him to continue to build on. The problem is the foundation is still not done. He still has some time to go to prove that he can do this on a consistent basis for us without getting injured, without getting hacked to death against a team like a Brighton whenever we go and play these small teams who are going to nip at your ankles like that. So I'm happy with the progress that he's making. You know, people are going to go, well, he can't even get in against Brighton. Well, like, you know what? Like, it's going to be a process. He's still somewhat a young player. So we'd have some time with him. Let's see what he can do in the League Cup and in some of these easier, you know, Europa League games and then into the next year on 2018 in the FA Cup as well. And let's let him progress naturally. And I think the way that they're using him now, I think Wenger's getting it right and not trying to overuse him and force him into this side, which I think we've tried to do in the past because of his talent. So I love the guy to death. And I'll always sort of support him no matter what. But I think what the club's doing right now with sort of the pace of his recovery and getting him back up to speed is the right thing, and not rushing it again and having something else happen.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But one of the things, Nina's back. Nina, I'm so sorry. I am ever so sorry. This show is dedicated to you. You're a stalwart in that box. And we think the world of you. I am so sorry about that. Bloody hell, I'm groveling you. one of the issues with Jack is, you know, he's been in the first team around 9 years or whatever it is. His Premier League appearances are low. I mean, I think you're looking at 105 Premier League appearances. And he's never really dominated a game since that Barcelona performance. Josh, you know, at 7-3-2-9-5 put in the box, the fit Jack is better than the dross we have in midfield at the moment. I couldn't disagree more. I he doesn't get in the head of those guys. What do you think?
I agree with you, Jace. All of our midfielders at the moment, centrally anyway, are in a really good vein of form at the moment. They may not have shown it necessarily today, but I think Xhaka and Ramsey have been absolutely superb for us after the Leicester game, Liverpool game. Sorry. From there, they've really stepped up their game. I think we saw that against Chelsea. I also think that Elneny is also playing really well at the moment, and he is a bit more defensive than Jack Wilshere. And at that time in the game, to bring Xhaka off and bring on Elneny was certainly the right decision for me. There could have been an option to bring Jack in, but if you look at the fact that Theo got a brace during the week and Giroud got a goal, I think they were more... One was needed and one was more of a reward for getting a brace to turn up in the Premier... have a run out in the Premier League with Theo Walcott. But I couldn't see a position for Jack Wilshere to come in at this very moment in time without us changing the formation.
Yeah, that's a big issue, isn't it? His style of play. He's a wonderfully talented footballer. Yeah. I think we all agree. I think everybody in the chat box would agree. We'd like to see him fit. We'd like to see him challenging for first team position. But, you know, he's got to earn that right. He's got to earn that right. There is the difference between him and Ollie, where Ollie had the chance to go this year and says, no, I'm going to stay and fight for my place. Jack went off to Bournemouth and he didn't set the world on fire. I'm sorry, he just didn't. And we, you know, let him take his time, let him come through and naturally get his match fitness, his match sharpness back, and hopefully he will be able to challenge for that position. Because we all want our players to do well. We all do, you know, that's the whole thing. So we're going to go to a couple of questions now. And we're going to go straight to Mike from the Gooners in the USA. JSU first on this. Will anyone ever score from the left-hand side when we have Kolasinac playing?
If they do, they'll probably be met in a dark alley after the match by the tank. Now, it's one of those things. He is an intimidating sort of imposing figure, and it definitely makes you think for a guy as built as he is, he's also surprisingly fast and quick. He's able to use his bulk very, very well. So you couple that with, I think, and Mike's put it in there with Kolasinacho. I think Nacho Monreal may be one of the smartest footballers that we have on our team. You couple that with the physicality and sort of tenacity that Kolasinac brings, and I think you've got a really, really good sort of pairing right there on that left-hand side. And, if they do score, it's going to take something pretty brilliant.
No, I agree. Marble Halls TV and Joe Vey ask, Josh Ozil, is he injured? What's really going on with him? Is this part, you know, is he being punished for, you know, not signing a new contract and a kind of attitude issue? What do you think's happening with Ozil?
I'm not reading too much into it. He wasn't called up by Germany either. Neither was Sami Khedira. He's got a knee injury. That's as far as I'm seeing it on face value. I don't think there's anything to dig any deeper in. I'm not one to speculate on that particular issue if Mesut is actually injured or not. Wenger says he is. So I'm going to be inclined to just take that on face value that he is currently injured.
Fair enough. Marble Halls TV again. Today's the 21st anniversary of Wenger's tenure, or this week is whatever. Whether you're Wenger in or Wenger out, what's your best memory you have of him? Mine is when we beat Spurs 3-1 in 1996 and Forest in 1997. From then I knew he was it. JSU first, your best memory of Arsene Wenger?
Yeah, well, I don't go back that far in my fanhood, but I want to go back to that sort of our first of our 3 out of 4 FA Cup wins was one of my favorite moments with Wenger, because you got that game just spot on, and he could have made some substitutions that really lost us the game, but he didn't, and tactically I think he got it right, and we ended up getting the win. I think it was on PKs, I want to say. So that's gonna be my favorite memory, is sort of him busting his new duck in the trophy drought and getting that new trophy, because that was also the first trophy that we had won since I had started sort of supporting Arsenal. So really, that's probably my favorite one. It still didn't necessarily want me to keep him around as our coach. I think everybody knows my thoughts on that. But it's one of those things where on the day he needed to get it right, he absolutely did. You got to give the man all the credit for that. And first time I ever got to see Arsenal lift the trophy, so it was pretty awesome.
Fantastic. Josh, same question.
Oh, you say, yeah, it's like 21 years worth of memories. as a couple, I think either the Thierry Henry goal against Leeds, where Henry comes over and hugs Arsene Wenger. That's just a really special moment. Or the line, "I don't know Santi Cazorla," and then that wry smile. It's one of those two. I just love any time that he does those transfer games. It's Wenger all over.
I think my other probably favorite memory would be him pushing Jose Mourinho on the touchline.
that was
number two for me. Yeah.
That was special. I think there's the moment at Old Trafford when he got sent off and he's just stood there. He had nowhere to go. and he stood there, arms out wide. And he even saw some of the United fans who've been towards him over the years.
Yeah.
They even gave him a clap, you know. It was a special moment. But I do think, you know, these recent FA Cup wins, with all the turmoil that's gone on around him, watching the joy in his face and how much it means to him. I mean, whether you're Wenger in or Wenger out, you can't question the guy loves the club. He loves the Arsenal. He wouldn't stay there 21 years if he didn't. And Oscar Arias, you get a shout out, bro. We don't need a reason to give you a shout out. You're a top man. But Arsene Wenger truly loves the club. As Nia says, the 2004 Invincibles, watching the way, you know, he loved every moment of that. It was special, you know. For all I'm not convinced he's the guy to go take the club forward. I don't think you can question the fact of his commitment to the club or his love of the club, and that makes him a special guy to me. It really does. Chill, Doctor. Zipper struggles. Mike, I'm not calling you that today. We're having a bad language free zone today for some reason. I don't know why, but it's a win. It's a happy day. Chill, Doctor. Josh, I'm going to come to you on this one. How was our defence with holding, etc.? He didn't get to see the whole game, so tell Chill Doctor about our defence.
Yeah, I thought our defence played really well today. Mustafi coming in and sitting in the middle after playing a full 90. That was interesting to see. Obviously, Koscielny being out didn't necessarily help proceedings, but holding played really, really well. We've already said how well Nacho played in his man of the match performance on that left-hand side. And yeah, with the two wing-backs, I think Bellerin, some of his build-up play was a bit dodgy, but overall, absolutely fantastic on that side. And then on the opposite flank, you've got Kolasinac, who I think was also incredibly solid and just always there at the right time. But yeah, I think it was a really good defensive performance against a team that wasn't necessarily offering a lot in attack.
Would you like to see, I mean, the one thing I notice with our wing backs at the moment, I really like the fact Mustafi plays in the middle of the back three. I think his distribution's pretty good. It wasn't great today at times, but if you've got Koz on one side and Monreal on the other, or you've got a number of options with Holden, etc., we're pretty solid there, because I think Mustafi's a great organiser. But I would like to see the wing-backs hitting the line a bit more, really using their pace to get down and get crosses in. Would you like to see a bit more of that? And why don't we do it that often?
I think it depends on who we've got playing up front. I think generally we put a lot of crosses in when Giroud isn't there, because it's rather counterintuitive, and that's just generally how it's been in the last couple of years that we've seen when Giroud's been playing, that crosses generally come when he's not on the pitch. But I think, yeah, with the delivery that you've got from Bellerin and Kolasinac, then we should really be offering that width there. I did think Bellerin was coming in inside fairly often in this game, maybe just congesting that pitch a little bit too much, but that's what we really need.
But that's the issue, though, Josh. You know, when they cut inside, you know, there is congestion there. Whereas, you know, you don't need to be if you're hitting the sort of the touchline and what have you, and really stretching the play and stretching the defence out, you're going to create space inside for runners. And when you've got Ramsey in your team, when you've got the Lacazette movement, when you've got Alexis Sanchez, if you create space for those guys, they will utilise it. That's the one issue I've got. We don't need to be hitting crosses for headers. Where do you see that?
Yeah, that's true. Man City have started utilising the fact with the low crosses that are pulled back to around about the penalty spot where you'll get that late runner, and that would be perfect for someone like Aaron Ramsey's game. But I think, yeah, we have had this problem where we are lacking options that sit out wide and just sit by the byline. We've had it with thinking of Theo Walcott, Oxlade-Chamberlain beforehand, just getting annoyed with them with not getting any chalk on their boots, because that's where we really expect them to be, is out up on that wing, offering the spot to always be an option for us. But I'm not sure that's going to change anytime soon. So it's been an issue for us for a number of seasons where we've not had wide outlets consistently.
73295, Jason waiting in the Death Star for Skywalker to break news to him about his father. I just want to say this to everybody in the chat box. Recently, we've had some people we don't want in the chat box with views which are ignorant and intelligent and reprehensible. Today, the chat box has been fantastic. We love having you in there, guys. You are superb. Thank you.
Today's chat box would have beat Brighton by like 6 or 7 goals. They've been there.
Today's chat box would have been double figures. Yeah. It's been superb. But you know, you guys really are a credit to the Arsenal. Whether I agree with your views or not, some of the stuff I've seen in there recently has made me physically sick. And today has been a breath of fresh air and brilliant. Well done. Well done to all of you. You're superb. Okay, so let's go. King for the Day asks, Jace, should we play with 2 strikers?
We kind of already do. Because whenever you have sort of I always think of Sanchez more as like the false 9 behind the striker when we play in this position. And then you've got whoever it is sort of beside him that sort of just roams all over and tries to get the ball into the middle, whether it's, you know, Ramsey's played there, or Iwobi, or obviously Ozil. We almost do the way that they sort of interchange. But I would be a big fan to see Lacazette and Giroud up top, sort of in more of a strict 2-striker role. But I just don't know how that would really fit the rest of the team at the moment. But I think we almost do at times, but at the same time, like I said, I don't know how that would translate to the rest of the team. And I think right now, as much talk as there is, but I actually think this formation actually does suit the majority of our players. And I think we're starting to see anytime that you change formations, you're going to have that initial sort of spark where you start to play well with it. And then teams are going to try to slowly start to figure that out. And I think we saw that early on this season. But I think our players are continuing to play it more and understand it better, understand each other better as well. And I think that's why we're seeing some of the form that we are right now. So I think stick with this formation and, maybe try some 2-striker stuff maybe later in matches or against some of the lesser competition. But stick with what's working for the time being.
Fair enough. Josh, DRK Druid asks, why is our play really slow and pedestrian? Also, Nina A7 asks about why do we try to force tight corners or tight spots all the time? Are you on mute? Are you on mute, Josh? Jeez. I'll take this one then.
Yeah, take that one.
Right, okay. So I think, you know, this pedestrian aspect of the play was down more to deep Brighton were defending. And we've seen on numerous occasions, yeah? So I think that's part of the problem there. And I think, you know, we saw glimpses of brilliance from Lacazette, Sanchez, yeah. Ramsey, with it into play, will be trying to come into it as well. I think at times it's the only option we've got. We run out of ideas because they're too quick to close down the long shot as well for us to draw teams out. And I think we may need to utilise the long shot to draw teams out a bit more. Alonso Spencer's in the group. Woohoo! I tell you what, Lossless is there as well. It's fantastic. I think, you know, stretching the play by using our wing backs and hitting the corners to make space is the way forward. We need to do that a bit more. Yeah. You know, if we're not going to stretch the game, we are going to have to force these tight spots, and the play does get slow. We do that horseshoe thing, which is a little frustrating. Josh, are you back?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Sorry, we were going so well.
You've let the side down, you absolute
Unbelievable.
Sorry. Yeah.
Josh, now you're back. Charlie Davis asks, and Charlie, you need to change the spelling of your surname. Davis is I-E-S, not I-S. Let's get this right. The only one way, and it's the Welsh way. Do you think Moel Nene is having a bit of a renaissance? Seems to be coming integral to the squad, quite surprising after the Leicester links.
Yeah, I think El Nene is playing really well. We knew he was a decent squad player, I think, when he came in. He's just really consistent. He's one of those average players that you need in every squad that can fill a number of roles and doesn't really moan about anything as well. He's one of those you could look at and go, oh, he probably does deserve to play more often, and you wouldn't begrudge him if he did go and leave to get more first team opportunities. But the fact that we've got him and he's happy at the club, doesn't really moan about his role within the squad. I think he knows where he is and what we expect from him. I think it's really, really good. I really like El Nene.
Yeah, I got to agree. I do like him. You know, he offers you 7 or 10 every match, but when he plays better opposition, he's tended to raise his game recently. Mm-hmm. When the opposition's been poorer, he hasn't been quite as effective, but he's full of running and he puts the effort in. It would be nice to see Northern Irish. Top man. But it would be nice to see, Jack come back in and Nene and, you know, really get a bit of rotation there so we can keep players fresh. People, I'm going to go at Rambo today. I don't think it was a great game by him, but I don't think he was that bad either. There were some really nice moments from him. But I think he kind of summed up our performance as a team. We got the job done, but we weren't great, were we? You know, it was very frustrating. Okay, so for today, isn't it? How long have we been going for, Jace?
We're spot on an hour and 15 minutes.
Right, oh, cool. Okay, any last questions, guys? Get them in now if you have any, and then we're going to wrap this up. Overall thoughts on the game, Jace? What do you think?
Yeah, pedestrian, but professional pedestrians. Sought out, kept a clean sheet at home, which is always a good thing to do. One more on sort of the notch there for Petr Cech. Looked good defensively. I actually think Rob Holding was probably one of our best three players today. I'm going to throw that out there. And happy to see sort of Sanchez linking play like he did for that Iwobi goal. So, yeah, overall really pleased with today. Much better attitude going into this international break than the last one, obviously. So really, really good. And now, you know, a few fixtures away from home when we come back they're going to be key during this October run to get as many points as we can, and got to take advantage of it like we did today.
Cool. Josh, your overall thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a game that won't live long in the memory. It was, but 3 points, decent. We're now level on points with Chelsea, but apparently only one of us is having a crisis at the moment. But overall, I think, we've got a decent run of games coming up, as Jason said. I think we've got 7 or 8 winnable fixtures in a row. And I think from there, we'll see where we are at Christmas, but I think we could be near the summit of the table with the run that we've got, to be honest, if we keep the form up anyway.
Yeah, it seems to be okay. We, you know, it was an awful performance against Liverpool, but you know, today. Sorry, Mike has just put in there. Jace, remind us again how you feel about Iwobi's man of the match. I have no comment whatsoever. I think Josh is mad at times. I think he's crazy. But you know, we're building nicely at the moment, aren't we? You know, we're not being phenomenal, but you know, we're coming along. There's a lot of W's after that. After that Liverpool game, and we're starting to find our feet and really get some rhythm going and get patterns of play going, which is great to see. You know, that's what we need to do. And funny enough, Nina puts in there again, do we slump again this winter? If we keep on building and raising our level of performance, we should be able to avoid that, hopefully. You know, but we are...
been here before. We've had the same September, October, and I hope we don't slump. I think we have a deep enough squad. We don't, but we got United. We got Tottenham at the end of November. There's a rough few games during that time that tend to always sort of be our bogey, and it's going to be any different.
Yep. But Jace, that's fair enough. But the difference this year is now Arsene, with Burgess coming in, he's actually managing Ramsey. He's managing players, okay? You know, you've seen nine of the first team squad from WBA didn't travel to Batey Borisov, okay? You know, that we're keeping players fresh. You know, we're making sure that we're trying to avoid the injury issues that we've had. Lossless is put in the box here. I love this. I hope I'm here to watch when Coughlin puts in a man of the match performance and Jace has to host. Do you know what? I'd like nothing more. I'd like to see nothing more. I just don't think he's a good footballer, you know? But I think going forward, we have to, you know, keep players fresh, really build forward. It's going to be interesting to see us, you know, if we get deeper in the Europa Cup, to see what happens then. That's it. My thanks to everybody in the chat box. You've been absolutely fantastic. You've been a breath of fresh air today. All of you conduct yourselves in a quality manner. Well done. Thank you ever so much for tuning in. Thank you for being part of it. Josh, you've been in and out doing the Okie Cokie, but thank you for turning up, mate. Much appreciated.
Thank you for hosting, Jace. It's been a great performance and a great show.
Well, that's not for us to say, but let's hope so now. Dreads, top man, you got up at stupid o'clock to watch this. Well done. Thank you very much.
Alonzo Spencer got up at stupider o'clock to watch it. So a big shout out to everybody sort of like West Coast gooners watching this that were waking up in like California and stuff, waking up at like 3:30 and 4 a.m. to watch. So big shout out to everybody sort of in those crazy time zones all over the world who stay up to watch the Arsenal and put in a nice sleepy performance themselves that nets us 3 points and 2 goals and a clean sheet. So. Yeah. No, thank you. Thanks for hosting, Chase. You've done a great job today.
Oh, thank you very much. Always a pleasure. Right, the next radio show, guys, is going to be after the Watford game. It's 2 weeks. It's week Saturday. The lineup will be myself, John Welsh, and Aussie Dom. Aussie Dom will be gracing us with his presence. Once again, thank you for the chat box. You're brilliant. Everybody's listening. If you can give us a thumbs up, we really appreciate it. Guys, well done. Thank you. Jace, switch this off.
I absolutely will. Let me just go to my button because I turned it off. And in 3, 2, 1, say goodbye, everybody.